Maybe you have already seen on the Twitter page. However, I remind you that two extraordinary lessons have been scheduled for these 2 days. November 24th and December 1st. In both cases, at 2 p.m. in classroom. A1 on this floor. Okay, this is due to 2 lessons missed last month. Well, the topics that will be developed in this and in the next 3 lessons. Are essentially the basic notions regarding matrix norms and an introduction to Birac methods, a general introduction for to Birac methods for solving linear systems, and in connection with this general framework, the study of some matrix factorizations, which will be useful also for other kinds of problems in the following of the course. Well, let us start from the first point. I assume that you know already the notion of vector norm. Anyway, let us recall the definition. Of a vector norm, this is simply a function non-negative, defined on the vector space C to the n with values in R, satisfying the following 3 properties. The non-negativity, with this further condition, the norm of a vector x is 0 if and only if x is 0. The norm of a multiple of a vector is the modulus of the scalar factor by the norm of the vector for any vector x and any scalar alpha. And finally, the so-called triangular inequality, which states that the norm of the sum is less or equal than the sum of the norms. For any choice of two vectors in C to the n. Well, we say only that the most common norms of complex vectors clearly norms, vector norms can be defined in infinitely many ways, but there are some choices more important because they are more frequent, commonly used vector norms. The norm 1, the norm 2, the norm infinite. The first is the sum of the moduli. The second is the square root of the sum of the squares of the moduli. And in the third case, is simply the maximum among the moduli of the entries of the vector. It can be easily shown that in all cases, this definition satisfies the requirements of the general definition or not, so we can say, we can correctly say, that these three choices are effectively three vector norms. Well, there are important theoretical properties of a vector norm, in the general case, I mean, that must be reminded. I mean, the fact that this has already happened. I try to fix this. Okay. Just a moment. Let's go on. First property, a continuous functions. All norms are continuous functions. This can be checked easily in these cases, but this is also true in the general case. All norms are equivalent in the following sense. What does equivalence, norm equivalence, mean? It means that given two arbitrary norms, here in the PDF file, they are called norm double dash, norm dash. They are two norms, two vector norms. There exist two non-negative constants real constants alpha and beta such that alpha by the first norm, that is double dash of a generic vector x, is less than the first norm of x, the second, norm dash, and less than beta by the other norm. So you see here that the value of x, of the norm dash of x, is bounded on the left and on the right by multiples of the other norm for the same x with, this is important, two constants not depending on x. This holds for any vector x. The proof is simple. We just sketch it. The proof can be made with regard to a particular choice of one of the two norms. So it is not restrictive assume that one of the two norms, say, the first, it is non double dash, is a particular norm, simple, non simple to treat, the infinite norm. Why? Because the inequality for other choices of norm can be made by comparison. Define the set S of vectors having infinite norm equal to 1. Clearly, S is bounded. And close. This is simple. This set is bounded by the definition of infinite norm. Infinite norm means the maximum of all the entries, the modulus, is less or equal to 1. So this set is bounded. And it is also closed. This is due to the continuity of the norm, the infinite norm, since S is the inverse image of the number 1. So the inverse image of a closed set, it is this set, is also closed by continuity. Why we remark these two properties of this set? Since in this case, the continuous function norm dash of a vector in this set is bounded by a minimum and a maximum. This is continuous function. Y belongs to S. So this function has a minimum and a maximum. And now it is simple to see that if we pick a generic vector x different from 0, if x is 0, all is trivial. So let x be not 0. Consider the normalized version of this vector. We divide this vector by its infinite norm. So we obtain a vector y whose norm is 1. So y belongs to S. So its norm dash is bounded by alpha on the left and beta on the right. Let us replace y with this expression in term of x, and we obtain you see I write this is y, x divided by its infinite norm, minimum, maximum of this function. For the second property of the vector norms, we can put outside this constant, multiply the three terms by this norm and obtain the final result by writing here alpha by the infinite norm norm dashed less than meter by the increment. This is the double inequality that was to be proved in the case that one of the two norms was the infinite norm. This is not restrictive, as we have remarked, so we have shown the general result. Well, we don't say anything more about vector norms and give more space to the matrix, to the case of matrix norm. Well, square matrices having a given order n form a vector space. So there is no problem to extend the definition that has been given for the case that the vector space was C to the n to the case of square matrices. So we have again, without changes, the same definition. Is sufficient to replace vectors with norms. And we have again for a generic matrix norm the three required properties. The non-negativity, now A is a matrix in the space with complex entries. Again, the nullity if and only if A is the zero matrix. Alpha by A, norm. For every choice for A and a complex alpha, and finally the famous triangular inequality. Very often and always for us in our case, a fourth property is added. Why? Because this property that I'm going to state is very important and very useful in the algebra of matrices. A property regarding the product of matrices. So, as we have required an inequality for the sum, we require a similar inequality for the product. And here you see the product row by column of two square matrices. This is the result, the norm of the result. We want that it must be less or equal than the product of the two norms. The last property, the fourth property, is referred often as submultiplicativity. Well, no problem regarding this extension. All makes sense. Particular choices of matrix norms. Well, there is a general approach, a general way to introduce a wide class, most important class, of matrix norms by linking the choice of the matrix norm to a choice of vector norm. I mean that the most important class of matrix norms is the class of matrix norms induced by vector norms. The idea is the following. We start from a generic vector norm. Given a vector norm, denoted in the usual way, you have already noticed that for vector matrices, we use in both cases the same notation, but there will be no ambiguity since we will understand, we realize, if we are dealing with a matrix norm or a vector norm by inspecting the argument of the norm. Yeah, this is clear. So, given a vector norm, a generic vector norm, let us consider the quantity given a vector norm and a square matrix A. Consider the quantity, the maximum over, let me use the same notation, this quantity. The maximum over, you may see better in this way, the maximum over the set, including all the values norm of A by X, this is the vector norm given, A is the given matrix, over when X belongs to this set of values. We have called this set in the case of infinite norm S. If you prefer, you can continue to call this set S. In this case, it is referred to a generic vector norm. Well, is this a good definition? What does it mean? A definition is good if it defines something. In other words, does this maximum exist? This is a maximum, you guess that we have to use some continuity argument as before. Indeed, we know that the norm, the vector norm, is continuous. So we are again in the case This is the case of a continuous function over a closed and bounded set. That is
the same set as before.
So this maximum must exist. So it doesn't know this maximum with star, so the maximum star exists. And we say, this is an important fact, we say and prove, obviously, that star is a matrix norm. This is the definition of write it again, maximum vector norm of x equal to 1 over the set vector norm of Ax. This is the induced norm of the matrix A. Naturally, we have to prove that this is a matrix norm. So now we should check that this induced norm satisfies the property 1, 2, 3, and 4. The definition we have just given satisfies the four properties of the definition, the general definition. The first three properties are easy to verify because they can be derived immediately from the analogous property of the matrix of the vector norm. The fourth property is slightly a bit more tricky to prove. Let us see how it can be shown. The sum of duplicativity, that is let us do this just for exercise. I have to prove this inequality when the norm is defined as I have just said. Let us start from the left hand side. By definition, this norm is the maximum over the set of values let us use here y of these values on the set of normalized vectors y. This maximum will be attained at some particular, for some particular choices of y. Say pick one of these choices So we can write that this maximum is I use different letters, but this it doesn't matter. From some vector v as norm 1. V is here. Let us call, let us denote with z the product v by v. We go on and have the norm, the vector norm of A by Z. Z may not have norm 1, but this is not a problem. I mean, it has norm of this product. We can by using the second property or the definition of vector norms, write this in this form. We have multiplied and divided by the same number. We are sure that z is non-zero, otherwise we would be in a trivial case. Here, this vector, say w, has norm 1. We have normalizer z, so this vector that I have circled has norm 1. Well, this is less than the induced norm of A. Here I have the norm of a vector that is the product of the matrix A by a vector W with norm 1. This is the maximum of all the values of this kind. So this is less than its maximum. And the maximum, by definition, is the induced norm, which has been called norm of A. The same thing can be made over this vector. Just remind that z was b by v. B by v. And also, in this case, we have b multiplied a vector of norm 1, having norm 1. So also, this term is less or equal than its maximum, which is the induced norm of b. So we have, finally, with this last inequality, found that we started from here. The norm of A by B is less than the norm of A by the norm of B. Well, as in the previous case, it is essential, it is mandatory, I could say, give some hints on the
induced norms induced by the
most commonly used vector norms.
That is,
according to the specific choices that we listed before, the corresponding induced norms, I could say I have to apply the definition in terms of maximum norm, etc., in these single cases. It can be shown that in all cases an explicit formula expression can be given from the corresponding maxima,
let us call
the set here
with S.
S sub 1, since we are considering the one norm,
this is nothing but an infinite. Explicit formulas, expressions, are following.
An expression that in some cases can be computed easily, not in all cases, as we will see. In the first case, it can be shown that the value of that maximum is exactly maximum of the sums of the moduli of the entries A sub ij, where the sum is done along the columns, so here we have I, and the maximum over j. In the case two, in the second case, for the two norm, it can be shown that maximum has exactly this value, where who is rho of a generic matrix Z is a non-negative number, which is defined, this definition, as the maximum of the moduli of the eigenvalues of the matrix, which is here. It's called spectral radius. Of Z. So here we could say that the matrix induced two norm is the square root of the spectral radius of this matrix. Here you see the product of two matrices, the conjugate transpose of A by A. And to conclude this short list, the third case, the infinite norm, it can be shown
that this is exactly the maximum
of the sums made now along the rows.
So we have J instead of I,
and the maximum is over I.
These formulas
should be proven. We, in after the break, we will show only the formula corresponding to the two norms. Why the other proofs can be made using analogous arguments. We expand the proof only for the case of the norm 2, because the norm 2, the two norm of vectors and matrices, will be the norm that we will use more frequently. And in the proof of this equality, many of the facts, the properties, the result, the theorems, which we have seen in previous lessons, will be used. Okay, let us stop for 10 minutes. Questions?